En el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amén. For Mark, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan is not only the beginning of his public ministry, as we often think in passing of the baptism of the Lord. Much more radically, for Mark, the baptism of Jesus is the beginning of the history of salvation. It is both Jesus' entrance into God's history of salvation and, by extension, our entrance into that history through Jesus. At the Jordan, the Spirit descends on or in Jesus as he comes out of the baptismal waters. But what for? John the Baptist gives us at least a partial answer to that. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We can sum up, at least partly, the significance of the baptism event, both for Jesus and for us at this point. Jesus is baptized with the Spirit so that we might be baptized by Jesus with the Holy Spirit. This is such an important event in the Gospels and also in the history of the church, so much so that at times the baptism of Jesus is interpreted by the church fathers as kind of a new birth. It doesn't mean that Jesus was not begotten of the Father eternally. It doesn't mean that Jesus was not born of Mary at his conception. But the fathers also wanted to point out that, in a sense, the Jordan was a new birth also, so that through Jesus, the one baptized with the Spirit anointed at Jordan, the church too might be reborn in him at baptism. For Mark, Jesus, the one baptized at the Jordan, will become the baptizer of the church. The one on whom the Spirit of God descends will become the one through whom the Holy Spirit will be given to many. The Spirit's descent on Jesus as he comes out of the Jordan waters suggests that the church's reception of the Spirit from the risen Lord, her baptism with the Holy Spirit, is none other than water baptism. So today, it is at the baptismal font, our little Jordan, if you will, that the Spirit of the Son descends on the baptized and makes him a son, a child of God the Father. The early church recognized in Jesus' baptism nothing less than the condition and the possibility of her own baptism into Jesus. Irenaeus tells us, for example, that God had promised by the prophets that he would anoint his incarnate Son, so that we, the church, receiving from the abundance of his unction, his Spirit, might be saved. In the same way, Athanasius reminds us that the Son's baptism did not take place for promotion of the divine word into godhood, for he is already God, but again that it takes place through Jesus for our sanctification, that we might share in his anointing, in his Spirit. Or Gregory Nazianzus, who speaks of Jesus' baptism as a mystery of salvation that takes place for my purification. Jesus is seen here as sanctifying the waters of the Jordan for us. So we find in these types of references the mystery of the church's sharing in a gift that is uniquely Jesus's. That is to say, the gift of his anointing, his sanctification and purification. Now, it is Luke in his gospel who reminds us that Jesus has the Holy Spirit and holiness, the fullness of sanctification, from the moment of his conception. But how can we share with Jesus what is uniquely his? In Mark's Gospels, John the Baptist reminds us, the one in whom the Spirit descends as he comes out of the baptismal waters, he alone will baptize you with the Holy Spirit as you come out of your baptismal waters. But now, we must also remember that the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. How could Jesus undergo such a baptism? We can picture Jesus as a baptizer with the Spirit in his exaltation. We can picture him as the mediator of the Spirit, but not as a sinner in need of repentance. After all, is Jesus not the dwelling place and the fountain of the Spirit's sanctification and purity? Matthew, in his gospel, has to deal with this potentially embarrassing dilemma. How can the sinless one need the baptism of repentance? Mark doesn't care much about the dilemma as such, but his conclusion is the same as that of Matthew's. In this sense, that Jesus, the bearer and giver of the Spirit, comes out of the waters by becoming the one who will bear upon himself our sins. Jesus is, in other words, our suffering servant. The Jordan is seen in the light of the cross. What it means for Jesus to be son is seen through the eyes of his suffering unto death, his anointing all the way to the cross. At the Jordan, we are privileged, as the readers of Mark's gospel, to hear the voice of the Father in heaven, which in Mark's gospel is really a word addressed intimately by the Father to his Son. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Those words, "with you I am well pleased," come from Isaiah 42, one of his servant songs. And we all know what happens to Isaiah's servant in chapter 53. He will take upon himself the iniquity of us all. Why does Jesus willingly go to the baptismal waters? We could now sum up the reason in the mystery of Jesus' humiliation. St. Paul's familiar words are appropriate at this point. The sinless one became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For Mark, Jesus' baptism at Jordan leads to a baptism in blood at Golgotha. Now, that baptism in blood is more Luke's language. Mark, I think, would speak more of drinking the cup. There is no baptism for Jesus that does not lead to the cross. And there is simply no baptism with the Holy Spirit for the church without Jesus' anointing unto death. It is precisely there on the cross that Jesus is ultimately acknowledged as God's beloved Son by the centurion in Mark's gospel. But Jesus must first become the servant anointed by the Spirit unto death for us. In God's history and plan of salvation, the one baptized in the Jordan undergoes himself a baptism unto death, so that we might be saved and receive his forgiveness and Holy Spirit in our baptismal waters. Mark adequately sums up the mission for which Jesus was anointed at the Jordan in the language of servanthood. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In this season of Epiphany, in which we celebrate the saving revelation of God in Christ, we give thanks to our God and Father for inaugurating his plan of salvation for us through the baptism in water and unto death of his beloved Son and servant. We also give thanks to our incarnate Son and servant Jesus Christ for willingly receiving the Holy Spirit at the Jordan and undergoing the baptism of sinners on our behalf, so that we too might receive his Spirit and the forgiveness of our sins in our little Jordans. Finally, we give thanks to the Holy Spirit, that unction and anointing of salvation, who flows from the Father through the Son into our lives, in order to make us pure and holy, not for our own promotion or glorification, but, like Jesus, the anointed servant, for service unto others. So, when we remember our baptism, our little Jordan, let us also remember the baptism of our Lord. For the Jordan is nothing less than the beginning of Jesus' own entrance into God's history of salvation as our spirit baptizer and as our suffering servant. And therefore, the Jordan is nothing less than the beginning of our salvation and sanctification. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amén.